Okay, so what motivates you to stay creative? In other words, what do you draw on to fill your creative self? I'm going to answer that and much more on this episode of Casting Actors Cast. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Casting Actors Cast. I'm casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach, and this is the podcast for actors from a casting director. That would be me. So welcome to Casting Actors Cast. Hey, how did you like the new opening? I wanted to freshen things up just a little bit. I didn't want to get into the same old, same old. And so I'm changing some technical stuff up a bit, and hopefully you're going to enjoy our podcasts even more. Thank you so much for listening. Today, we're talking about intrinsic creativity. What do you do to draw from your creative self to stay motivated, to stay focused on the work at hand? We're going to answer those questions coming up just a second. And this is that moment of the podcast where I want to say thank you so much to all of those listeners who are out there. We are over 10,000 downloads of Casting Actors Cast. And as I've said many, many, many times ad nauseum, that this wouldn't happen without you. As you're continuing to listen, I really hope that you are getting the word out to other friends, other actors, people that might benefit from having a casting director at your disposal to answer any and all of your questions. You're a part of it, so that means so much to me, so thanks. You know, sometimes it's really hard to come up with a new idea for each and every podcast, each and every week. Not that I don't have a lot to say, because I got a lot to say, but sometimes it becomes a little more challenging than others. And sometimes doing nothing really propels the world outside to help give you some kind of guidance as to what to do on some of these podcasts. And that's exactly what happened this week. I want to first respond to the last episode, which we did on tours, called it Tour Guide. That might be a fun episode for you to listen to if you haven't heard it. But I did have a couple of conversations, and I mentioned an agent and a casting director that was really helpful to me. And then the casting director, Paul Hart, suggested that I contact an actual performer who's done these cruise ships. And I had to go and, go into the studio and do the episode before I had a chance to talk to Beth. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to talk to Beth anyway. And so I had this really great conversation with Beth Tarnow. And Beth has been on several Royal Caribbean cruise ships. And she kind of set me straight on a couple of things. And it's not that I didn't get it right in the last podcast, but there were a couple of things that she said to me that really triggered off kind of a different mindset. And I think this is rather exciting, and it's really positive. And, you know, as long as I can remain a sponge and continue to learn things, I just love being able to share some of this information with you. But my attitude changed. My attitude towards cruise ship performers being sort of locked in to a performing style that's not necessarily helpful to one's career. And I'm wrong. I'm wrong about that. And here's the reason that I'm wrong. Some of the cruise ships are actually involved in doing full-scale, full productions with really well-known directors, producers, and choreographers. For example, Royal Caribbean has an entire performing arts facility where the talent goes down there for maybe 4, 6, maybe even 8 weeks to rehearse their shows before they end up going on the ship for that 9 to 12 month contract. And what's amazing is that Royal Caribbean seems to be doing it right. And I'm not trying to do a commercial for Royal Caribbean, but it really seems to me that when a cruise ship decides to do, and this is a true example, they decided to do a full-scale production of Cats. And what's amazing about that is that many of those cruise ship performers who were cast actually ended up eventually getting and going into the London West End production of Cats. And so when you're working with directors and choreographers and people in the industry and the producers really know what they're doing, this can be a really advantageous performing opportunity for those actors, performers. I'm a little less excited about the kind of review style work, but many times these cruise ship performers will do two or three shows over the course of their time, and they rehearse with these really well-constructed, well-conceived shows. And so, therefore, I think that the cruise ship attitude that I had maybe 10 or 15 years ago has changed rather dramatically. And so I just wanted to put that out there and thank Beth so much. She was such a sweet person and so nice to talk to and so extremely helpful. So then that got me to thinking about, gosh, you know what? I need to say something on this podcast about that. And so I just did. But then again, something else happened is that I got a message from somebody from Florida. And I'm going to read the entire message to you in full. It's a question. It ends up being a question, but I wanted to go ahead and give my answer to it. The message is, "Hello, Mr. Jeffrey. I just wanted to say thank you for offering help to those trying to get into the industry. We all know it can be rough at times. I'm a full-time actor from Miami, Florida. I've been lucky enough to book quite a few jobs to be considered a working actor, but most of my work has been commercials. I'm very thankful for that, but I wanted more film and television work. I'm getting mixed information about moving to Atlanta versus staying here and hoping for the best. My wife has been helping me afloat when things get slow for me, and that's what I've been struggling about. Would moving to Atlanta mean I would get more work?" And then in parentheses, he writes, "Of course, if I had an agent." Signed, Isaac. Thank you so much for contacting me, Isaac, via castingactorscast.com. I encourage all of you listeners to go to castingactorscast.com, all one word, and you can submit any kind of question on the contact form. Plus, you'll get a free downloadable PDF book called Conversation Pieces Out of the Studio, the voiceover workshop for actors. But I wanted to answer Isaac's question, and I think the answer has to do with looking outside of your own creative self and seeing exactly how much work is out there. And how do you find that out? Well, first of all, I think it's a matter of doing the internet thing, finding out how many agents are out there, how many films are actually being shot in Atlanta, and whether the trend that's taking place in Atlanta is enough of a value for you to consider a move. In other words, I wouldn't suggest moving to Atlanta unless I did a couple of things. One, go to Atlanta, see if you like it. Try and get a couple of appointments with a few agents that are up in Atlanta. Find out from the industry journals, industry information about what films are now shooting in Atlanta. In other words, really become a student and study the option before you make any definitive choices first. Now, compare that with your current situation. Are you comfortable in Florida? Is there just enough work to make you feel confident and successful with the work that you are getting? And if that's not the case, because you know what? I understand that the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, but after visiting Atlanta and checking it out, you might see that being where you are isn't the worst thing at all. So I always am a firm believer that knowledge is power, and so my suggestion to you, Isaac, is to go to Atlanta, spend a little time there, maybe 4 or 5 days, really get a lay of the land, see if the people there are amenable to newcomers coming there. Now, I know Atlanta is a really excellent place because I know that there are a lot of things that are shooting there, but what is shooting there might not necessarily float your boat in terms of the material that's going on and how easy and or difficult is it to get those film television jobs in Atlanta. Many times, large productions, all of the network productions, are also going to both New York and Los Angeles first for some of the larger roles, so for some of the more featured performers. So Atlanta might just pick up the pieces and be offering a lot of day players, for example. So that's the kind of research that I think will benefit you most. Again, thank you so much for the question. So with both of those two situations that happened to me this week, I thought, you know what? What are the ways in which you keep feeding your creative self? And the way I divide this up is into two categories, what I call intrinsic creativity. an intrinsic creativity really is that part of you that does the work for yourself. In other words, the benefit of your creativity is coming from your own self-generated internal mechanism that feels right, that feels good. You know what I'm talking about. It's when you read a play and you think that you're so right for the part, and it feels like this is a part you should be playing. See, that's an intrinsic value that you're giving yourself. Also, when you go to a dance class, when you go to a voice class, when you go to an acting class, you're not there to please the teacher, although that might be a side benefit. The internal benefit is giving you confidence, making you feel better about the choices you're making in your work. And when you go to a dance class, you're getting the physical exercise, you feel better, you've got all those cool endorphins going on. Those are all intrinsic values that you're getting, and they keep your creativity on a level higher than if you didn't do those actions or take those actions. So that intrinsic creativity, for me, is the thing that actors must nourish, take care of, hang on to, and embrace whenever you're talking about the business of acting. Oftentimes, we let the external influences dictate our creativity. And here's what I mean by that. And I used to do this all the time as an actor. But if I always spent time on what I think the producer or the director or the artistic director or the choreographer might be looking for, then I've lost my own internal or intrinsic value to the work. Those outside influences can have a real detrimental effect to your creativity because you're not thinking of you fulfilling the vision of what's going on. You're thinking of what others might think about the choices that you make. And I know that that's a slight difference, and I don't mean to get so esoteric here. But there's really great value in doing an audition, in doing an interview, in meeting a new agent for the first time, in choosing whether you live in Atlanta or choosing whether or not to do a cruise ship show. The value of what it does to your insides, I think, sometimes gets left out of the overall picture because we're so concerned about those external values. Now, when I talked to Beth, for example, she was talking about being on a cruise ship. She said, "This is the most money I have ever made as a performer." And I thought, you know what? That's awesome. Because that's an external influence. The financial gains for doing a cruise ship is equally valuable. I'm not putting that down. I'm not saying that all of those externals are not good for you. On the contrary, I'm saying they have to be kept in balance with what feeds you internally. So money can be a great motivator and can be a really great reason why you want to get that audition really in tip-top shape. Because you get hired by a cruise ship, you can make thousands of dollars a week and have a good time seeing the world. So there's value in that. Now, there's also value in Isaac going to Atlanta and seeing the externals. Is this a place where me and my wife really might want to live? Are the people friendly there? It's not just about how you're being fed in your creative self, but Isaac really would love to have those film and television opportunities that he might not be getting in Florida. It's not just about getting those opportunities in Atlanta. It's also about some of those external influences. So, intrinsic creativity or extrinsic choices? What is motivating and keeping you creative? Here's another example. I find a lot of actors are motivated by the time crunch. In other words, if you have a limit of time, you've got to get the self-tape into the office within 24 hours. And so the actor just says, okay, I got to do it. And they race and they set up their cell phone and they shoot in their apartment and they work on the scene or the work as much as they can. And then they send it and then they wipe their brow and say, whew, I did that. I got that done. What's lacking in those scenarios oftentimes is the need to get your project in on time supersedes your own creative influence on the work. And that internal mechanism that drives your creativity oftentimes gets lost because you're so focused on the deadline that many times you really forget to do really, really good work. In the long run, it's about finding the balance. It's really understanding the reason why you're making the choices that you're making. And the best choices are the ones where you can feel very, very creative internally and feel very supported by your own choices that you make as an actor. And at the same time, those external things can be equally rewarding. Okay, so let me really simplify this. Sometimes you do the work for the art, and sometimes you do the work for the money. Is one better than another? The answer is no. They can be equally valuable to the way you live, and you must not beat yourself up for any of those choices. You do them because you're a survivor. You do them because you love acting, and sometimes those opportunities don't pay well, and sometimes they pay really, really well, but they're very much less rewarding. Not every gig is going to be this fantastic journey toward a better career. It just doesn't seem to work that way. Those kinds of decisions and choices that are in your control and those kinds of decisions and choices that are out of your control all kind of get meshed up into what I call togetherness stew. It's when all of those emotions and all of that feedback kind of get mushed up together, and eventually you'll come to a place where you feel absolutely fine about the choices because you know where those choices came from. What that also means is that when you go in for an audition, whether it be film, television, or theater, remember that the audition is for you. That you're having an opportunity to perform is a release of that creative self in whatever environment you find yourself in. Don't think about how it's affecting your career. Don't think about how it's affecting those people who are watching you and evaluating you. Walk away from that audition knowing that you felt creative, you had fun, and you really had an opportunity to act. Not everybody has those opportunities. So along with gratitude, you'll find that your shifting of that focus between what is external and what is internal and the value of both will carry you so, so far. Thank you so much for listening to Casting Actors Cast today. Again, my sincere thanks to Isaac and to Beth, and make it a great week. Do three things that you feel great about this week. Okay? Okay. This is Casting Actors Cast.